than in the life and biomedical sciences, so very much echoing what we saw and heard this morning. As our programme of titles, our programme of journals has grown, so have the numbers of authors choosing to publish in those titles. This graph gives you gives an illustration of the number of articles that have been published via our hybrid program, Online Open, which is the blue line you can see on the chart. And the red line is the number of papers published in our open access journals, in our pure gold journals. And, you know, you can see the numbers in 2011 started off pretty small and insignificant. But in 2017, for the first time, we saw the number of authors choosing to publish in our fully gold open access program exceed the number of authors choosing to publish open access in our hybrid program. By the end of this year, we expect over 11,000 articles to have been published in our gold program, around about 10,000 via our hybrid program. And to us, this illustrates the fact that authors still value the opportunity to publish open access in our hybrid portfolio. But encouragingly, it also shows us that when we launch new journals, new gold journals, authors are choosing to publish there too. They're increasingly making the choice to publish in gold journals over hybrid. So what do publishers do in terms of providing support for authors? Well, we provide choice for authors. At Wiley, we talk a lot about the researcher as our North Star. We're committed to offering different access models and different journal types to support our authors, to support their needs and their choices. That means that we provide both the green and gold open access options for our authors. It means that we provide a portfolio and that we're growing a portfolio that consists of not just highly selective open access titles, but also much broader, I guess I would use the term sound science titles, that encourage authors to not publish based on the novelty of their content, but to report on incremental findings in order that others can build upon their really valuable findings. We support authors by transitioning our journals from the gold open access model, from the hybrid open access model to the gold. If we did it the other way, we'd be even less popular. So we're transitioning hybrid journals to gold open access where that transition can be sustained, and I'll give an example of that in a second. And by being a founding member of the Research for Life initiative, we support authors from developing economies without access to article publication charges to enable them to publish in our journals. We also provide support for our society partners. Publishing on behalf of and in partnership with learned societies is a significant part of Wiley's business, and we support the move to open access publishing for those partners. We provide advice and models that will sustain them through the transition towards open access. More than 50% of our gold open access journals are published on behalf of learned societies around the world, including all the ones that you can see here. And there's some super impressive and very important research being delivered by members of these societies. Societies and authors are important elements of our customer base. We need to support them in the transition towards open access. But also, as our publishing program has grown, we have realized the need to support an infrastructure to help authors comply with the rising numbers of funder mandates. We've invested in an infrastructure that supports open access and that supports our authors and our funders in the delivery of open access. Open access, as I think we all know, can be a complex thing. There are an increasing number of mandates from funders, from institutions, Authors sometimes can be confused by the range of different CC BY licenses available or not know which one to use in order to comply with their funders' requirements. So we've spent time and energy developing an author compliance tool and a funder dashboard in order to help our authors understand the landscape, know which journals they can publish in order to meet the mandates of their institution or their funder, and help funders keep track of the spend that their grantees are using on open access publishing. So we've developed things like our open access policy finder, and as I mentioned, our author compliance tool. This is a quick example of a journal that I referenced earlier that demonstrates our support for the transition to open access by the conversion or the transition of hybrid journals to the open access model. This is an example that we have transitioned to open access in partnership with two leading societies in the bioscience area. Funding for open access has been strong in this subject area. The editorial board and the editor were super supportive of the move to open access, and that has really meant that transitioning to OA has enabled the journal to continue to be sustainable, to continue to publish great quality content. And as you can see from the line on this chart, in the year of flipping, which was 2016, the usage for this content in this journal really skyrocketed, as alluded to by Paul's presentation around the books program earlier. So, as I mentioned at the beginning, to us, open science isn't just about open access, it's also about all of these other issues. So in the last few minutes of my presentation, I'm going to quickly highlight some of the instances or some of the pilots that we're working on in order to help move our journals and their authors further along an open science path. A couple of weeks ago, it was International Data Week. One of the things that Wiley has done over the last year or so is introduce a series of data sharing policies for our journals. So we introduced this first about 12 months ago, but a couple of weeks ago we revised these policies so that they are more closely in line with the Fair Data Principles and with the TOPS guidelines from the Center for Open Science. And we're also working very closely with them to ensure that our data sharing policies are aligned with those of other publishers, because we recognize that sharing data can be a difficult decision for authors. As I mentioned earlier, the mandate landscape is tricky and can be challenging to navigate. And we recognize that introducing more policies, more mandates, if we're going to go down that route, we need to try and align them as well as we can with the rest of the publishing landscape. So we've introduced four policies, the weakest or the sort of entry point policy being around encouraging data sharing, but we're working really hard to move all of our journals to a minimum policy of expecting data sharing and requiring all of them to publish a data availability statement with each article. I know I'm about to run out of time, but super quickly, I'm going to talk about our transparent peer review initiative. We believe that transparent peer review is really important, and we can see that by making peer review available, we can help increase reviewer and editor accountability, and also, really importantly, provide some very valuable training for early career researchers in the maybe previously mystical art of peer reviewing. So very recently we announced that 9 of our journals have signed up to ASAP Bio's open letter promoting transparency in peer review. And we have just announced a pilot project with our friends at ScholarOne Manuscripts and Publons to develop the world's first scalable transparent peer review workflow. And as you can see from this slide, although it's very early days, we only introduced this a couple of weeks ago, we've already seen really positive, really encouraging uptake of this idea of transparent peer review. It hasn't put authors off publishing in our journals at all. Recognition and reward, I'm going to skip very quickly through because I hope everybody in the room is familiar with ORCIDs and with Publons and with the Centre for Open Science badges, but just to say that we support and have introduced all of these initiatives and partnered with all of the organisations represented here in order to drive greater recognition and give more recognition and reward to authors publishing in Wiley publications. And finally, and very, very recently, we produced this checklist. It's called How Open Is Your Journal? And we initially developed it, I think, with a view towards using it with our own internal colleagues to help them assess how open the journals that they work on are. So the checklist covers everything from open access through to self-archiving, through to Creative Commons licenses, all the way through to does your journal offer registered reports? Does your journal enforce or encourage the use of the credit author taxonomy? And we found this to be a really, really useful tool in helping our authors, our editors, and our society partners understand that there are stages in the journey towards greater openness. And some of them may feel that they are not ready to move their journal to a fully open access journal, but that there are important steps that they can take to move their journal and their subject community towards a greater open future. And we're planning to, or we are using, this really nice checklist as a valuable tool to help them move further along that journey. So just in summary, I would say that we take our role as a publisher of some of the world's leading research and a partner of many of the world's leading societies really seriously. And we believe that publishers can play an important role in embracing open science and in supporting the growing aspiration for more openness within the communities that we serve. And we're doing that by growing our open access program and by developing and partnering on some of the initiatives and tools that I've just given you a super quick tour of today. Thanks very much for listening.
Thank you very much for your presentation. Are there any questions in the room at this moment? Is one question that came past Slido? Yes. Would you like to pick it now and answer?
How will your hybrid journals deal?
Yes.
Why do you project an increase in hybrid uptake when the previous year was flat?
So what we've seen so far this year, I don't know if everybody heard the question actually, it's why do you project an increase in hybrid uptake for 2018 when the previous year was flat? Actually, the evidence that we have seen, or the uptake we have seen so far this year, has indicated that there will be growth in the number of articles, the number of open access articles being published in our hybrid journals this year. And I think that speaks to the fact that authors value the opportunity or value the choice to publish in the journals that speak to their communities or the brands that they recognize. So we're not predicting a decline right now in the uptake of open access in our hybrid journals. For this year, certainly, we expect to see an increase. We're on track to see an increase.
Thank you very much, Catherine. Mm-hmm. And please join me in giving a round of applause to our speaker from Wiley.